turn in your Bibles to 3 John 2. I'm not going to go very long. I was riding in my car. As I'm riding in my car, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. I had, you know, in my spirit, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard, actually it was in my office. It wasn't in my car, it was in my office. I was sitting in a chair in my office, and my kids have torn my office chair up. I'm not cheap, okay? I believe in being frugal. I don't have a problem with that, but I just haven't replaced my office chair. The arms falling off because they jump off the arms. And they decided to pick all of the fabric off of it. So if you go in there, all the nice leather fabric stuff, I guess it really wasn't leather, but they picked all that off. So you got this cloth look thing with all these gaps and holes in it. And I thought, you know, they're just going to tear the next one up. So I'm not going to buy another one right now. I'm just going to hold on to this one for a while. And it's getting pretty rickety. Does anybody have anything like that? I kind of did that with my couch. You know, we got 3 dogs, 2 cats, 2 ducks, a guinea pig. We had 2, 1 died. We got all these things, and some of you would probably be abhorred to think we allow our dogs in the house. They come in every once in a while, and we try to keep them off the furniture. And this new set of furniture, we don't let them on at all. But just like this office furniture, about every couple of years, we would just go buy a cheap sofa set. You know, because we figured they're just going to tear it up anyway. Kids are going to puke on it, you know, whatever. You know, they eat on it. If you get kids and they eat in your car, don't ever let your kids eat in your car, y'all. Don't do it. Don't do it. You'll regret it. You will regret it. There'll be funky smells in there for the rest of your existence. You know what I'm talking about. You just won't know where it's at. They spilled it down the back of the chair and the back of the car, and there's some full chocolate milk in there till you sell it. Amen. So don't do that. But we did. And so as I'm sitting there in this chair, God spoke to me. Now, before I get to the moment, before I share with you exactly what God said, I want you to have that in mind that, you know, we just recently bought a new sofa, and it was a big one. We found this great sofa. It bends around our house just nice. It's the newest one. The last one went to the dump. I mean, it ain't even yard sale material. You understand what I'm saying? 3 John 2. He said, "Beloved, I want you to point to yourself, and I want you to say, that pertains to me. You are God's beloved. God loves every single one of you. And when you know him as Lord and Savior of your life, he calls you his son. He has made you his beloved. You are not an outcast. You are an adopted son and a daughter. You've been brought into the family. You are heirs to the promise. God has made you above the angels. He created you. And then when you get saved, he seats you with him in heaven. And I thank God for that. We're seated in heavenly places. Look at somebody and say, I'm seated far above all principalities, all powers, all dominion, all wickedness. You're above it. Somebody say, I'm above it. You're a beloved. And the word wish there, there have been a lot of debates on what this means, wish, because it was written within the first 2 verses of this particular chapter. We know there weren't verses and all that when the Bible was written. It was letters and it was continuous writing. There weren't commas and periods and things. And so some would say, well, this was a greeting. This was a salutation, a greeting to the church. But it was more than that. It was the writer of this book and this letter indicating to us something very critical and very important to us. The word wish there is also a substitute for pray. I pray. I pray. I pray. So the prayer of this writer, the person who's writing this to us, is telling us as the beloved of God that his prayers for us. And then he goes on to say, I pray and wish. I pray above all things. He gives us an indication and tells us this was not just some milli vanilli prayer. This was his highest prayer. He wanted us to understand that this was a prayer that was meant for every believer, every beloved. That it was a prayer that was to give to us, or a desire that he had for all the believers above all things. So as he prayed, I want you to think this was his highest prayer. This was at the level of the highest in his life when he prayed. I wish above all things. And then he goes on to say, he said, that thou mayest prosper. I want you to look at somebody and say, God wants you to prosper. I remember one time, I told everybody, I said, turn around and tell the person behind you that God wants you to prosper, something like that. And when I looked, everybody was talking to somebody's back of their head. I realized you can't do that anymore. You got to make sure you make eye contact. Don't just look in their ear. Amen. Talk to somebody. Amen. And hopefully you use Q-tips and clean out the earwax if they did look in your ear. Anyway, I want to say this to you. He said that thou mayest prosper. It is the will of God that every person in this room prospers. God does not have a bankruptcy available for you. He doesn't have a bank account that's empty waiting on you. He has not prepared emptiness for your life. He has not prepared for your failure. He didn't prepare so that you couldn't have a job and that you couldn't have success. You didn't get saved so that tomorrow he has some terrible, tragic thing coming your way. No, beloved, I pray above all things that thou mayest prosper. God wants you to prosper. There's no ifs, there's no ands, there's no buts about it. God wants you to prosper from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. There isn't anything in your life that God does not have a success path for you to prosper. God has designed you to prosper. When we follow in God's ways, when we obey Him, and we are led by the Spirit of God, I can guarantee you absolutely without a doubt that every time He will lead you beside green pastures and He will restore your soul. He will bring you into a good place. He will bring you into a higher place. He will bring you into a wealthy place. Look at somebody and say, God's got a wealthy place for me. Amen. Hold on, my iPad. My son stepped on my iPad this morning and smashed it. It just smashed. So I'm doing the best I can with a smashed iPad. This you'll see how this matters. You'll see how this message ties even into today. God does not want me with a smashed iPad. He said that you be in health. That's the desire of God. God has a desire not only that you prosper financially and wealth-wise, but God wants your body well. God doesn't want you sick. God has not designed another sickness for you tomorrow. He hadn't come up with a way to make you sick. As a matter of fact, God don't have sickness. Sickness comes from the original sin. Sickness comes from the devil. It's out of the seed of the devil. It doesn't come from God. Today, if you're in this room and you're having a difficulty in your body, I assure you today, I don't know why you have not received your healing. I don't get that. I don't know why you may have something going on. I do know this. I know that God is not the problem. God did not cause it. God wants it off of your body, and God wants you well. Amen. By Jesus' stripes, you were healed. Amen. Amen. And I believe today, I want to tell you something. I believe today that as we continue to preach this word, as we continue to flood your life with the word of God, as we continue to tell you what God said, it's good news. Look at somebody and say, it's good news. We can share how much He said that we share the good news. The gospel is good news. Today, I'm telling you that I've got good news for you. You don't have to be Poe no more. And you can be healed in Jesus' name if you're sick. I know it might take a little while, but keep on going, baby. Just keep on trucking. Keep on confessing. Keep on talking. Keep on walking. Keep on breathing. Stay above. You're not made under. You're made above. I want you to know something. Jesus will heal you. You will receive your healing because He already has healed you. Some of you that are sick in this room, you can stay there and wallow in it if you want to. But when I say stuff like that, you should jump in there with me. Don't sit there and stare at the wall. Don't sit there with your mouth closed. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't care how you feel today. Open your mouth. Somebody ought to yell out, I'm getting my blessing. If you're sick of paycheck to paycheck, if you're sick of not enough, then start serving the God that's more than enough. My God is more than enough. He's El Shaddai. I'm giving you room right there. See, I'm kind of talking, but I'm giving you room to right there say, you know, He's right. I'm just going to shout that out. I serve a God that is more than enough. He's more than enough for my car payment. He's more than enough for my washing machine. He's more than enough for my body. He's more than enough for my house payment. He's more than enough for me to have electricity. God's more than enough to pay the school bill. God is more than enough to take care of me. My God is Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I can't help it. I know y'all may think I'm crazy, but I can't help it. I just can't help it. I just can't help it. You just go ahead and look at me like I'm nuts. I just can't help it. My God is more than enough. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Wait to what I can't wait to tell you what God told me. I gotta quit. I didn't make it to the gym this week, so I figured I'd just go ahead and work out today. Pastor Steve, what are you doing? Catching my breath. I'm about to pass out, Brother Richard. You might have to preach for me. I'll give him a note. Oh, hallelujah. I got to get a trainer. I got to get some help. Man, if you're going to preach like I preach, you got to get some stamina. I got about 5 minutes in me. I'm done. I've told everybody I can beat you for five, and anybody in this room, I can beat you for 5 minutes in basketball. But you have you better have a bed ready when I'm done in 5 minutes. There's an interesting thought here. There's a really interesting thought. We are to prosper. We are to be in health. But he equates something. There is an even in here. That designates an equality. There's an equation. You see that? To make something even, not less than or more than, even, I don't think that's a mistake. Even as. There's an evening out. It says, even as thy soul prospers. I want to give you a word of advice. I want you to hear what I got to say. Don't let your past determine your destiny. I'd write that down. You cannot let your history be as important as your destiny. Every one of us has some form of a history in our life. We have some upbringing or some moments. We've been smacked around sometimes. We've been disappointed and disillusioned, even in the house of God, even in a church. We've had disillusionment. We've had expectations that were unrealized. And in the midst of that, if you're not careful, you will allow your history to define your destiny. You must be careful never to allow. The only thing that will define your destiny should be the Word of God and what God says about it. I just would look at somebody right now and say, I'm just going to follow the Word. The blessings of the Lord on your loaves and fishes are more than enough to satisfy your needs. Somebody said, well, I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot to offer. It don't take a lot. It just takes a little. I wish somebody understood what I'm saying. You may be about to walk out on the water in Jesus' name. You might be able to be getting ready to step out. The loaves and the fishes blessed by God were more than enough to meet the need. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessings of the Lord. I wish somebody shout out right there. The blessings of the Lord, they make rich and they add no sorrow to. It isn't somebody that makes you rich. It isn't the bank that makes you rich. It is the blessings of the Lord that make you rich. You see, God said that he wants us to prosper. God said that he wants us to walk in health. But he said it's as long as our soul prospers. So there's the equation. So I'm sitting in my house, and I'm just sitting there, and or in my office, sitting in this rickety chair, and I heard the Lord say, Steve, it's time for an upgrade. Now, I knew when he said it, he wasn't just talking about me. He was talking about you and me. I want you to know something. It's time for your upgrade. It's time for God to upgrade your life. It's time for God to upgrade your health. It's time for God to upgrade your finances. It's time for God to upgrade your family relationship. It's time for you to walk in an upgrade. Somebody shout out, time for my upgrade. This is your moment, I'm telling you. Don't keep your mouth shut. Join with me. When I heard that from God, I about jumped up, danced around the room. I heard God tell me, Steve, I'm about to take you to a new place. I'm about to work you into something you ain't never been in before. I'm about to step you up into a new design. You don't have to sit in that old rickety chair no more, because I'm about to upgrade you. Somebody ought to shout out right there. Time for my upgrade. What does that mean? 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, being enriched in everything, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes us to thank God. We're to be upgraded into a wealthy place. We're to be upgraded into a higher destiny. We're to be upgraded. Listen, Philippians 4:19 tells us how. But my God, God wants to upgrade us so we can tap into the glorious riches in heaven. Oh, I wish you understood. See, you're still living on what's here. You're still living on what you can see here. But God said he would supply all our needs according to his riches. God wants us to tap not what's just here, but God wants us to reach into a glorious place. He wants us to reach into the heavenly realms and pull out of the heavenly the things for our upgrade. I'm not just talking about natural upgrade. I'm talking about God wants to do a supernatural upgrade in your life. He wants to... When God gets done, it will be everlasting glory. He doesn't just give glory. He gives everlasting glory. In Deuteronomy 15:6, it says, for the Lord your God blesses thee. It only takes a loaf and fishes and God blessing them. He says, and the Lord God bless thee as he has promised thee. And thou shalt lend to many nations. Thou shalt not just borrow, but thou shalt reign over many nations. And they shall not reign over you. You see, God wants to upgrade you to a lender, not a borrower. When I heard upgrade, I started looking. I want to see, where's God going to upgrade me? God wants to upgrade me from heaven to go down to the bank and beg some man, will you please give me a loan for my house? Will you please help me out with my car? And then when they give me the loan, they own the car while I make the payments. God wants to upgrade me so I can own the car and I can own the house. I'm going to get it in you. I'm going to get it in you. God said, it's time for an upgrade. It's time for an upgrade. I'm telling you, brother, it's time for an upgrade. It's time for you to step into a brand new place, in a brand new financial realm, in a brand new health, in a brand new wholeness, in a brand new blessing. It's time for your upgrade. The Bible says that the rich rules over the poor. The church is about to step into a new place. So the first key to our upgrade is spiritual prosperity. If we want it, the equation is, as your soul, even as your soul prospers. The first key to upgrading your life is spiritual upgrade. Amen. Jesus was the most spiritual man that ever lived. And he had more command over finances than anyone ever had in the world history. He could say, go down, there's a fish. Not just a bunch of fish. Don't pick through all the fish. I don't think y'all understand that. He didn't say, go down, get a net of fish and just start looking through them. You're going to find one. He said, you go down and get me a fish because inside that fish, he only needed one fish. I'm preaching real good. He only needed one fish. He said, turn the corner down there, go left and talk to that man. He's going to give you a donkey. He didn't say, go down to the stable and pick me one out. He said, there's a man around. I don't know if you understand how in control he really was. He didn't wander around hoping stuff was going to get done and Kesara, maybe it'll turn out all right. He knew exactly where to go. When he said, put your net on the other side. They had fished all night. He had command and control of finances because he was full of spiritual things. Even as. Prosperity is a function of spirituality. It's a function of spirituality. Your healing is a function of your spirituality. To the level your soul prospers, so will you. To the level your soul prospers, so will you. That told me a lot when the Lord said, time for an upgrade. It told me where I was spiritually. It also tells me where we are. I mean, I've been preaching right. I've been telling y'all the right stuff. And y'all been getting it. You've been getting it. Glory to God. Spirituality is the platform for manifestation of prosperity. Spirituality. Look at Job. Job 1:1 tells us, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was perfect and upright and one who feared God and eschewed evil. Job became the greatest businessman of his day in the world. Why? Because in Job 1, we see a spiritual man. We see a man who made God his heart. If you will be spiritual, you will establish a foundation for God to continue your prosperity.
That's right. Amen.
If you will be spiritual, you will gravitate things towards you. You must upgrade in connection to your spirituality. We must remain in love with God and remain spiritual. You remember Solomon, the story of Solomon. How many remember Solomon? The Bible says when he was in love with God and sought God with all of his heart, God blessed him. But there came a day when he turned from God. This is what I'm telling you. I can show you a direct correlation between Solomon's wealth and blessing and his love for God. And I can show you when he began to contaminate his love for God and began to trust in worldly things and began to hide. See, when God told him, you go and kill everything out there. Kill goats. And all of a sudden he hears the, you know, he's telling Samuel, oh, yeah, I did what God told me. Some of y'all, your ass telling on you. When I get in your car and crank it up, am I going to hear 101 country? Or am I going to hear Jeff and Tia? If you know the whip Nene better than you know Amazing Grace, something wrong. I can get my iPad out, probably go through Facebook, and I find y'all doing one of them dances, one of them new dances out there. You be coming out with your kids. Oh, yeah. Doing the dap, whatever it is, you know. Then I said, dance in the Lord. Get in here. The Spirit of God's moving. At least do the whip nay-nays. Do something. And you wonder, you say, how do I get wealthy? How does God bless my life? How do I receive the blessings of the Lord? It is His will that you prosper and be in health. But there's an even sign in the middle. If I want that, I got to have the other end of the equation. As thy soul prospers. If you will be spiritual, you will establish a foundation for God to continue your prosperity. Your upgrade is connected to your spirituality. You must remain in love, God, and remain spiritual. There's sorrow when we disconnect. It is your depth of spirituality that determines the level of prosperity that God can entrust in your hands. You don't hand a 5-year-old your car. Go ahead, baby, go drive him. I wonder how it would come back. And God has true spiritual riches that he wants to give to us, but we can't handle it. Because when he gives you the boat, you'll be on it on Sunday. When you got the money for the new Sea-Doo, you'll find your way to the lake on Sunday. No, your spiritual connection to God is what validates your ability to have your prosperity. I'm giving you key one. There's other keys. There's key. I'll give you just a thought. Now, this is just a thought. Now, it's not really a key. I got to quit but just think about, well, I won't go there. Let me finish up. God will never place a blessing in your life that you're unable to handle. He knows what you weigh. He knows what you weigh. Some that God has blessed, let the blessing become the passions of their life. You must develop. This is my tweet for today, my Twitter for today, my quote for the day. You must develop a spiritual capacity to carry the blessing. If you have not developed the spiritual capacity to carry the blessing, then you can only carry what your capacity is. Having a sure foundation makes it worse. 2 Timothy 2:19 and 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. The Lord knows those that are his. And let every one of you that names the name of Jesus depart from iniquity. God knows who's his. And if you're named by God, depart from iniquity. You see, it says here in 1 Timothy 4:8, it says, for bodily exercise, 1 Timothy 4:8, godliness is profitable. It says that bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Your spiritual wealth will build your personal wealth. Now, I want you to look at Psalm 105:17 or 105:37. 105:37. How many remember when when they were in bondage? You remember the bondage? Israel was in bondage to the Egyptians. And Pharaoh had them under his thumb, and the people had mistreated them. They were slaves. You can walk in not enough, which is where they were under the Egyptians. When they left Egyptian control, they walked into a place of just enough. The Bible says their shoes didn't wear out, and they were not sick. There wasn't a feeble one among them. God sustained them in the wilderness. But God had never designed them to live in not enough. And he had never designed them to live in just enough. He designed them to live in Canaan, which was the God of more than enough. You see, some of you are living in not enough. Some of you are living in just enough. But God wants to take us all to more than enough. I wish somebody shouted. See, just right there. I don't need to run like T.D. Jakes or whatever because he's just a great preacher. I'm just a preacher. And here's the difference. Y'all got to help me preach. I am. In Psalm 105:37, listen to what it says. He brought them forth with silver and gold. There was none of them feeble among their tribes, and Egypt was glad when they left, for the fear of them fell on all. The word there, a wealthy place, means a satisfied place. When all is satisfied, somebody ought to shout out amen. Amen. God wants to take us out of our bondage amen. And upgrade us to a satisfied place. Amen. See, that's what I heard God tell me. I heard God tell me, Steve, it ain't just a chair you're going to get. You didn't just want to buy me a new chair. I'm about to step into a satisfied. You see, when God brings you out, Tia, he doesn't just bring you out with nothing. He brought them out with gold and with silver, and there wasn't a feeble one among them. God's going to bring us out into our wealthy place. I wish you see what I'm saying. when they let them go, when they were released from their situation, they were released with the blessing of God. I tell you now, God's about to release all of us into his blessing. A satisfied place. When they came out blessed. Look at God. Just look at God. Just look at God. Look at God. Look at how God works. Oh, hallelujah. God will upgrade you and guide you so you can see through his eyes. Psalm 32, 8, 9 says, I will instruct thee and I will teach thee in the ways in which you shall go. I will guide you with mine eye. He'll show us what he sees. He'll walk us into his sight. He will show us through his sight. I will guide you with what I see. We can see how God will upgrade us. Now, I'm going to finish right here because I think it would just be great for all of us to go here. Deuteronomy 28. I want you to claim this for yourself today. And you know this scripture, but I'm going to read it out loud. And as I read this scripture, I want you to claim the promise of God for your life. I'm telling you, God wants to upgrade you today. Look at somebody and say, I'm ready for my upgrade. It's in an accident today. Let me tell you, every one of you sitting in this room, I know you came here because you thought you were just coming out of duty and ritual. But when God speaks to the man of God in his office and says it's time for an upgrade, I tell you, every person that walked through this door today, every person that happened to be here on this day, God had a word just for you. No accident. Ain't no accident you're here today. God's going to speak this to your heart today. Brother, you're going to walk in an upgrade. You know, Jeff, when you walk in an upgrade, when I upgrade my computer, doesn't mean the one I had was bad. It just means there's one that's better. Something's better out there. Something's better. Something's better than where you are today. Something. Oh, hallelujah. You thought that was good. You thought what you were walking in was good. You said, thank God that I was there, because it's good to have food when you're on the journey. It's good when God keeps you in the middle of your life. But it's also better when you walk in the land flowing with milk and honey. You might just think where you are is good, but I promise you, when you step across the Jordan and you walk into that land, you're going to know there was better. And God wants better for you. Oh, God has better for you. There's better on the other side of that choice. There's better on the other side of that decision. There's better on the other side of this message. God's about to upgrade you. You're about to step into something brand spanking new. It's got new features. It's got new abilities. It's got new opportunity. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah.